Hello, my name is Elizabeth Gray. I'm a senior at Virginia Tech in the Crop and Soil and Environmental Science Department. My degree will be in Crop and Soil Science with the agronomy option, and I'm also getting a minor in Environmental Science. You're here for the soil physical characteristics across the Ecuadorian regions, a soil strategic perspective. I would not have been able to do this project without the help of Antonio Leon of University of San Francisco, Quito, or USFQ, Dr. John Galbraith of Virginia Tech, who is my soil judging coach, as well as the faculty advisor for the soil judging team, and Ms. Ozzy Valle, he's in the back there, who is the faculty advisor for the Agronomy Club. The objectives for this project were to introduce the concepts, principles, and processes involved in soil judging to Ecuadorian undergraduate students and to classify and characterize soils across the three mainland regions of Ecuador. My experience with soil classification in the field comes from my involvement with the soil judging team at Virginia Tech and Dr. John Galbraith. I joined the soil judging team in fall 2015, and I went to my first competition in spring 2016 at the Kansas State Nationals. I also went to the Southeast Regional Contest in fall 2016 at Auburn, and I went to my second national contest at Northern Illinois University just this last spring. So you have Felipe, Renato, Mateo, and Julio. They were students of Dr. Antonio Leon at USFQ. They are all pursuing degrees in agriculture there. They volunteered to be my guinea pigs, or students, I guess you could also call them. I know that teachers aren't supposed to have favorites, but Felipe, he was just so interested and so happy to learn that he really made me happy. So for the three regions, there is the Amazon, which is outside of areas with a lot of alluvial action, so river islands and the floodplains and stuff are mostly oxisols, which are soils that only occur in humid, tropic, and subtropical regions and are composed of quartz, clay, oxidized iron, and aluminum. The mineral composition in the high levels of plant unavailable organic carbon create a very red soil with very strong structure that has low fertility. The Andes have andesols, which form either in volcanic material or cool, moist climates with high organic matter inputs. Andesols are composed of poorly crystalline materials with high organic carbon, which is in andesols plant available, so it increases fertility and they have good bulk density, all that awesome stuff that we love in soil. The coastal region has no dominant soil order. It's a real mix, as you can see on this edge area, of lightly weathered inceptisols, mildly weathered alfasols, and highly weathered ultisols. There are six basic skills I wanted to teach the students: texturing, coloring, structure identification, horizonization, and interpretation. And these actually all kind of come together, so you can't really do one without some of the others. For texturing, I taught them how to do sand washes. And as anyone who's tried to teach sand washing, everyone wants to make huge, huge balls to try to wash out. They never did learn that you can just make one that's like the size of a BB. So that was fun to watch them do that. Ribboning to do clay, and using the USDA texture triangle to find percentages of silt and also identify the USDA texture class. They already knew about the Munsell color system, but I reviewed it with them and went over the proper techniques to use in the field, such as having the sun coming over your shoulder, to look through different hues even when you've identified value and chroma you think are right. Just doing that is pretty important to getting it right in the field. I also reviewed the soil structure and showed them how to determine horizon boundaries using changes in color, texture, and structure. I introduced general concepts like potential compaction with different textures, how fast the soil drains being affected by structure and texture, and the color indicating organic matter content, which is important for fertility a lot of times. I also went through my soil judging handbook to show them tables that you can use to estimate runoff, erosion, infiltration, and hydraulic conductivity. They were not calibrated to the coastal region we were in, but that was just to give them more of an idea of how you can use that and get data to do that kind of thing. Not necessarily that this would be the exact correct thing to use there. To teach them, I first collected samples from the Amazon and Andes and made an effort to maintain the structure. The students met me in the coastal region after I'd already been to the other two. So the samples were the only way I could really get to show them or let them touch soil from the other two regions. After they did join me, I was able to go out in the field with them and we saw soils in situ. So here I have the soils from the Amazon that I got and from the Andes. So for putting it all together, I got to put it all together in a drainage ditch in a banana plantation in the coastal plain. This was the only time the students got to see a large profile. Before that, they'd only really been seeing like 30 centimeter soil slices or looking in small holes because it's hard to dig down really far. So this was really the best way to teach them just about it. It's the best way that you can learn about structure and color, and especially horizontalization, just being in front of a soil pit like that. I had them work in a group. I offered them the chance to be individuals. They refused. And filling out a soil description sheet and using the handbook and all of that and doing interps. I supervised and answered many questions because horizontization was really difficult for them, but they had fun with it. They really did. This is the profile we did. We described to you 28 inches or 71 centimeters. The texture of the AP was silt loam, and the other three were loams. The soil did have a slight clay increase as with depth and did get redder, but we found no clay films. We did some interps using the tables and determined the infiltration rate, hydraulic conductivity, runoff, available water, and soil wetness class. And I suspect if it hadn't been a drainage ditch, which means water was going out of there, probably would have been more redox, but it had been draining for a while. In conclusion, the students said going out in the field to see and touch the soil really made them understand the concepts they had to learn in class, that it was really helpful to them, they said, and it made it a lot more interesting. And for me, it was just really nice to get to teach people and make them more excited about soils, giving them a greater understanding of the importance of soil in agriculture and how it even can affect, the economic applications, because two of them were actually doing agricultural economics. And if you increase yield by better soil, you can get more money, surprisingly. And that's kind of all I have for today. Any questions? Yes, I did all the textures before they touched them. I'd done all the textures. The big problem with oxisols is that the structure is so strong it takes a really long time to work up with the high clay and just breaking it apart.
Yeah, it's thixotropic.
So it takes a long time.
Did you compare to lab analysis?
No.
These are your estimates that you were training the students.
Yes.
This is my estimate. This is the correct one.
No, we didn't have any lab data on anything. Just going through it.
Okay.
And it was more about teaching them the process than necessarily being exactly correct, to just get the process down. Yes?
So what, if anything, do you have a chance to do this again when you do differently?
It would be nice to be able to get them to be in all the regions and be able to really see them in person, because it's really hard, I feel like, to just understand a kind of system if you're only seeing separate samples. And I would like to be able to have dig more pits or deeper pits, have more time with them there, instead of maybe doing, at the times I did more lectures sometimes, and I would have liked to do a lot more in the field with them.
All right.
No, they really don't have a soil survey. So you might have noticed that the samples I got, they weren't, you know, really great, because there's no way to really reference any of that. They don't really have much soil science at USFQ either. So it would be great if they could have more.